In other words, they wanted the admiration of people. They teach what they teach so that people will like them because of what they teach and who they can point to and say, they believe what I believe.
Welcome to Treasure Truth with Pastor and author James Ford Jr., Senior Pastor of the Christ Bible Church in Chicago. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us as today we're going to be wrapping up a message we began last time. It's taken from Galatians chapter 6, and Pastor Ford has called it, Don't Drink the Kool-Aid. Really, he spent some time talking about false teachers and being able to recognize false teachers. And how do we do that? Well, we do that by really understanding what Scripture says. You may have heard the little story before. It's been shared a number of times by a number of different people. But when bank tellers are taught to recognize counterfeit dollar bills, they're not always shown just tons of counterfeits. They spend a lot of time with the real thing. They get to know the real thing deeply, intimately, so that when a counterfeit comes across, you know, their teller window, they can say, there's something about this that isn't right. And in the same way, we're called to spend time in the Word of God, to spend time in Scripture, memorizing it, applying it to our lives, so that when we hear something that isn't biblical, whether we recognize it instantly or not, specifically, we can say, you know, there's something about this that just doesn't seem right. And then we can take that to Scripture, see if it lines up with what God says in His Word, and evaluate the thing that we're being taught or told through the lens of Scripture. You know, as Pastor Ford has been talking about false teachers, he's going to spend some time in today's broadcast helping us recognize not only the importance of Scripture, but also some of the common ways that a false teacher may try and present what they're teaching to us. Whether it's talking about experience more than Scripture, or focusing on race more than redemption, or family more than faith, he's going to spend some time getting into that in a lot more detail. So if you can, grab your Bible and join us in Galatians chapter 6 as we continue a message called Don't Drink the Kool-Aid. Here is Pastor Ford.
The admiration wanted by the false teachers. So in verse 12a, he says, listen, let me give you the adoration wanted by them. Here's what it says. It says, and I quote, he says, as many desire to make a fair show in the flesh. Stop. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. To make a fair show is one word in the Greek. I'm not going to tell you what it is because I can't pronounce it myself, even though I study Greek. Always having problems with it. Ain't no use even messing with it. Let me tell you what the word means. Here's what it means. It means to look good in front of people. They are trying to get you to believe what they believe so that they can look good in front of other people about you. So their goal is not to glorify God. Their goal is to please people. Wow. Yeah. In other words, they wanted the admiration of people. They teach what they teach so that people will like them because of what they teach and who they can point to and say, they believe what I believe. And here's what I want you to remember. Remember, they use the Scriptures too. Don't let that fool you, okay? The devil used the Bible. So coming to me with a Bible really not going to mean anything to me because the devil uses the Bible. The first sin was because of a misquote of a verse. But anyway, what's going on here? Let me show you. Go back. Turn back to Genesis chapter 3. Hath not God said, and what did she say? God said, we should not eat it, neither should we touch it, lest we die. Here's what happened. You won't believe how easy it is, how it was for sin to happen. Here's how it happened. She touched it and didn't die. But did God say anything about touching it? No. They added something to Scripture. Here's the first one. Where did they go wrong? They added to Scripture. Now, I have a bunch of them, but since I'm going to use them Sunday, I'm not going to give them all to you because I don't want you to hear them all. But somebody can give one. Holler out something that people quote as Bible that's not even in there. God don't like ugly, and he ain't too crazy about pretty. Where is that in the Bible? Cleanliness is next to godliness. Where is that in the Bible? And there are plenty of people who are clean that ain't godly. Pull yourself up by your own. Where is that in the Bible? Yeah, money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root. God didn't say money is the root of all evil. Then give me all yours then. If you believe that, give me all yours. I take it. He said the love of money. There you go. You take one step, I'll take y'all. Y'all didn't give them all. So act like you didn't hear him. Yeah, you take one step, he take two. God takes care of babies and fools. I wish that was true. Because sometimes I act like a baby and I know I'm a fool. Now don't y'all be laughing at me, cuz. Hello. Yeah, and so he added the scripture. So what's the danger? Don't add. When the devil came to Jesus in Matthew 4, what did he do? He added to the scriptures. Now what else did he do? What else did they do? They changed some words, did they? Because God said, you will surely die. She said, lest you die. What happened? Reduce the consequences. Are you feeling me? You see what's going on? Why Paul is so dead on these people about the error, about it stripping away their ability to be able to live for God? What else happened? Omitted words. Omitted words. And then what else? Change the context of the words. I'm always telling you about text without context, both pretext and proof text. That's why. Look at Jesus and his answer to the devil. The devil said, throw yourself down, because the Bible says that he will pick you up. And Jesus said, you misquoted that scripture. You took it out of the context, because the context is you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. That's what you're trying to get me to do. You see that? I'm not making that up. He's saying, devil, you're taking the word of God to try to get me to sin against God. Because the scripture you should have used was, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God, quoting the Bible to me, quoting the written word to the living word, and think you're going to fool me. I wrote the book. How you going to fool me into disobeying the book that I wrote? And so there it is. Look at all three of the temptations and see. All of them are good even of themselves. He said, hey, you've been fasting. Make these stones into bread. Man shall not live by bread alone. What's Jesus done every time? Every time he says, you're using things. Yes, I have a need. Yeah, but guess what? My need is not important as my surrender to God's will. That's a principle. But what is happening today on TV and in radio? Your need takes precedence over God's will. So you give him 10, he'll give you 100. And I used to say it all the time when we had our stewardship sermon. I say, they write and talk about, if you send $100 to this ministry, sow this seed into this ministry, God's going to double it tenfold. He's going to give you 1,000. Now here's how I think. You need the money, I don't. So you should send me the 100, let God give you the 1,000. Does that make sense to anybody? It does. And the more money you want, the more money you ought to give me. So if you want 10,000, give me 1,000. If you want 100,000, give me 10,000. If you want 1,000,000, give me 100,000. And so what did he say? John 12, write this down. I won't quote it. John 12, 42 and 43. Here's how he ended it. You Pharisees do what you do because you love the praise of men more than you love the praise of God. I want to tell you something about your pastor. I don't know if you already know it. I don't preach to be popular. When I go places and I know, I'm going to say something controversial, I always let them know. I know a whole lot of people don't like that, but I don't preach to come back. Yeah. And then I remind them, you assigned me this passage. I'm just telling you what it said. Amen. You know, don't go postal. Don't kill the mailman. I'm just delivering the mail. That's my job. And I want to make sure that I do it very well. I don't want you coming down the post office saying he didn't deliver all of it. And I want you to get it all. And so that's exactly what happened. He's saying, listen, you need to understand these individuals are individuals who want to bring you into bondage so that they can show you off. Now, you know what's going on here? Thanks be to God who always calls us to triumph in Christ Jesus. That's a picture of what a Roman general would do when he won a war. He would come in on a chariot with white horses, because white horses were the symbol of victory. No matter what he rode out on, if he's the victor, it would be 6 or 4 or 8 white horses, and he'd be in the chariot. Behind him would be his captives, and then behind them would be his army. Because the first thing he wanted to display was his power over the enemy. This is the same picture that he's giving us here, that these false teachers want to come in a victory parade with all of their captives behind them. Wow. Now remember, we've already learned he captured us to set us free. These people capture us for other things.
You're listening to Treasure Truth, a message called Don't Drink the Kool-Aid. And we have to pause right here, but we'll get back to this teaching from Galatians 6 in just a moment. You know, I know Pastor Ford's teaching is making a difference in the lives of those who may be tuning in each and every day or listening through the podcast or the mobile app. If that's you, would you let us know that you're a regular listener, and would you give a gift of support? We're able to bring you this teaching, whether it's through the radio, the app, or the podcast, or simply streaming the program online, because of the generous support of those who believe in the ministry. You know, we're passionate about sharing the good news of the gospel message, unpacking the Bible verse by verse, and seeing what God has to say to us through Pastor Ford's messages. And if you're benefiting and you'd like to share in that mission with us, I want to ask you to give a gift. You can do so today by coming to our website, treasuredtruthradio.org. We really do need one-time gifts, as well as those who will give a regular monthly gift. Just stop by treasuredtruthradio.org and click on the link that says Make a Donation. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Ford.
Now notice with me. The admiration wanted by the false teacher. Here it is. The concentration of false teachers. Listen to what he says. They constrain you to be circumcised. So here's their concentration. They have something that is a work that you can do to make you feel better about your Christian walk. And so what happened? Here's their concentration. Circumcision. Now we talked about it. What is circumcision? It's the outward sign of what you'll be in reality. It's a seal or a sign of the covenant in the Old Testament. But now we have the circumcision of the heart. Here's the thing. Let me do this real quick, because I'm going to go ahead and finish this. Here it is. They're concentrating on circumcision. Now, here's how you know that somebody has a pet doctrine. You hear it all the time. And you hear it from their members all the time. They have a concentration on one thing to the detriment of all things. In Acts chapter 20, Paul said to the Ephesian elders, I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Okay, here's what it is. I just picked some out. Walk with me. What do you mean? The concentration of false teachers. They focus on experience rather than scripture. You with me? Right there. They focus on experience rather than scripture. They focus on color rather than Christ. Now, ain't nothing wrong with us being black. We are black. And I told you just on Sunday, we're going to be black for all of eternity. But not to the detriment of Christ. They focus on the Sabbath rather than Sunday. They focus on race more than redemption. You got a whole group right up there on 75th Street. You dialogue with them and they're trying to convince you you are of the original race, that God started with you. You are Hebrew Israelites. You are this. You don't understand your heritage. You are the ones that came through the wilderness and all of that. Now, I'm familiar with black presence in the Bible, and it's definitely more than what we're being told. There are a whole lot of, you know, a black man helped Jesus carry his cross. And on it goes. It was a black man, Acts 8, that took the gospel to Ethiopia. You see, and on it goes. And so they focus on family more than faith. Now, there are more, but I just picked out some of the prevalent ones. That the first thing they want to tell you is, well, you're not keeping the commandments rather than the Christ. All those kind of things. See, we are those who believe in the five solas. Anybody know them? I ask you to quote them. Do you know them? Okay, you know them. Good, good, good. What is that? When Martin Luther got saved, wrote his 95 theses on Wittenberg's door, he launched what was called the Protestant Reformation. We're Protestants. I don't care whether you're Pentecostal, Charismatic, Baptist. You're Protestant. It means protesting one. Protest against what was going on. Well, what were some things going on? Well, they had a saying in the Catholic Church back then, as soon in the coffers a coin rings, a soul from purgatory springs. So you could pay for the prey that gets them out of purgatory. He said, no. Five solas, here they are. Solo Christos, solo fides, sola gratias, solo scriptura, solo de gloria. Christ alone. Is that Bible? Faith alone, is that Bible? Grace alone, is that Bible? Scripture alone, is that Bible? And glory to God alone, is that Bible? That's Bible. And so he says, listen, you need to watch out for these guys because this is what they do. Here, let's do these real quick. Notice the dissimulation of false teachers. What do you mean? Listen to what he says about them. He says, for neither themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Say, what are you talking about? That these individuals, these individuals, they had a gospel that was all honey and no bees, no work and all ease. They focus on the crown, but not the cross. They love the celebration of Resurrection Sunday. They just didn't want the crucifixion of Good Friday. They're trying to convince you, you can have your best life now. Be careful of a Christianity that's cross-free. When you're not asked to suffer, sacrifice, and surrender. I quoted already, Jesus said, John 16:33, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Notice their condemnation, I left that out, because it says, lest they should suffer the persecution of the cross of Christ. They did not want a cross. But then it says, but neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law. Here's their condemnation. They condemn in the light what they're doing in the dark. In other words, these are people who want you to do one thing while they themselves are doing something else. Then finally, look at the motivation. It should be the motivation of false teachers. He goes back to it. They want to glory in your flesh. They want to be able to boast about the Galatians' submission to their rule. And so what do they do? To exploit you. Now, let me say this and then I'm done. What do you mean to exploit you? I'll never forget this. And I forgot the name of them, but they met downtown. And one of our former members got hooked up with them. He left here and he started going because they invited him. The first day they met him, they invited him to the house for a meal. We didn't do that. And he told us. Well, you didn't do that. They asked me, was there anything I needed? I told them, and they gave it to me. You didn't do that. And then they told me, asked me, was I saved? I said, yes. And they said, tell us how. And I said, through faith in Jesus Christ, who's God in the flesh, who died, was buried, and rose again. They said, that's just the first step. You got seven more steps. Then they took me through the Bible and showed me the seven more steps. And then I did them, and they say, now you're saved. So I started worshiping with them, and they all worship at one place at one time. And we all meet in districts or sections of the city. Then the next time I talked to him, I said, what's going on with you now, man? You still there? Yeah. He said, see, let me tell you something. When I was at our church, things that happened, we had to beg. Not at our new church. Here's what we do. For example, we're getting ready to raise $1 million in one day. That's how you're going to do it. Everybody's been asked to give three times their monthly mortgage in one day offering. I said, really? Three times your monthly mortgage? Yeah. I said, are you going to do that? Yes. How are you going to do that? You got money saved? No. He said, I've got 2 months of it, and I'm not going to pay my mortgage for that month. I said, are you serious? He said, one thing you don't have to worry about me being at this new church, when I say I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. That's what we believe. And I said, man, I don't know what he's doing now. Matter of fact, his friend, I was out in Las Vegas suffering for Jesus, and I his friend lives out there, and so I knew he was out there. I got his number, and we went to dinner, you know. And I asked him about him. He said, man, I don't know. I don't know what happened to him, man. They shut that thing down, and he just disappeared, so I don't know. And I said, man, y'all were great partners. He said, nah, that church pulled us apart, man. I said, okay. You say, that serious? Yeah, it's that serious. Because there are plenty of people who think that they're on their way to heaven who are not, because their salvation is not based on what the Bible has to say, but what some teacher told them they needed and showed them a verse taken out of context, and they believed it. And Paul says, listen, here's what I want you to know, that you and I must earnestly contend for the faith that was once and for all delivered unto the saints.
It's a great way to wrap up this broadcast, isn't it? It's a message called Don't Drink the Kool-Aid, really a look at a couple of verses in Galatians 6, verses 11 through 13. And if you want to go back and listen to this teaching again, you can do so by coming to our website, treasuretruthradio.org. You can stream the program through your computer or mobile device. You can order copies on CD or simply download MP3s for free. Again, you'll find that at treasuretruthradio.org. Well, Pastor Ford has written a number of books, many about marriage and relationships, and you can check those out when you come to our website and click on the link that says Books by Pastor Ford. You'll see the different titles available as a paperback or in an ebook format. Again, you'll find the link, Books by Pastor Ford, at treasuretruthradio.org. Well, thanks for listening today. Thanks also to our producer, Amy Rios. I'm Steve Hiller. Treasure Truth is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.